Only two teams are on bye this week. The team that the Carolina that the Washington Commanders are going to play after the Carolina Panthers, that's the Chicago Bears. And America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. They might be considered America's team. They might be called, referred to America's team by some. I call them America's team in jest. Because they are, in a lot of ways, representative of the kind of mishmash society we have. Very disappointing. Very disappointing society. Very disappointing. Very uneven. Reckless. Unstable. You're not exactly sure what you're going to get. In a lot of ways, that's the Dallas Cowboys, certainly this year. I mean, they've won 12 regular season games in each of the last 3 years. Think about that. And they're 3-3 of the bye, and the roof is caving in, right? And, you know, maybe this bye weekend resets them, maybe gets the Micah, I don't know, back, and a couple of other guys. But think about it. In order for them to go 12-5 again this year, which I did not have before the year either, in order for them to go 12-5 this year, they only have 11 games left, right? They got to win 9 out of 11. Not easy to do. Not in any year. Again, maybe that's not the standard. I don't know. It hasn't really gotten them anything further than one playoff win, but like, I didn't pick them to make the playoffs to begin with. No, I didn't pick the Commanders to make the playoffs either, so a lot of things are different. All right, we'll have our picks against the spread coming up in our Super Sunday six-pack, and, of course, our six teams ranked 1-6. Did the Commanders stay in the top six of the NFL? Let's get back to you on the phones. Let's go to Sean in Connecticut real quickly here at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. What's up, Sean? How are you?
I'm good, Chris. Thanks. I hope you're doing well.
Absolutely. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. I hope you guys have a great weekend.
Same to you.
But yeah, so my thank you. I appreciate it. My quick thing is, I will say after the Giants game week two, I genuinely thought that this upcoming game would determine the number one, who gets the number one overall pick. And obviously we're at a very different spot now. And I just feel like, and I'm definitely guilty of this too, but at the start of the season, we were just worried about Jaden's progression and his health. That's the main, anything other than that is a bonus. And so that's where I'm at right now. My score prediction is a 41-17 win. Obviously, I really have no idea, but that's just what I'm feeling. I think there's a picture of Jaden on the bench after the Ravens game, and he looked pretty mad.
Yeah.
And I think the Panthers they'll score a little bit, but not too much. And I just hope the defense, like someone mentioned before, bend not break. And then one more thing, real quick.
They've been okay, by the way, at that. I mean, they haven't been great. I'm not suggesting they do it all the time, but they've been okay at, you know, the Cincinnati win that you were at, you know, where they got off the field a couple of times, forcing field goals or a couple of, you know, field goals early in the Baltimore game. They've been all right at that. They haven't been good enough, but they've been all right at that.
Yeah, and just my last point, I have a bold prediction. Luke McCaffrey and Dak Hurts are both going to score their first touchdowns of the season. That's my bold prediction for Sunday.
I like it.
Keep up the good work, Chris. Hope you guys have a great weekend.
Thanks, Sean. You too, pal. Appreciate you. Hope you and the family are doing good. Let's go to Lou here on the Team 980. Lou, no Benjamin St. Juice talk for you.
I'm not. I'm not going to talk about that guy anymore. Since you always telling people, you know, there's thousands and thousands of people telling that how much I hate people. I don't hate people. I just don't like when they out there doing the wrong thing. That's
Lou,
all it is.
It's a radio show. I'm a little over the top sometimes, you know?
But when people go see me, they'll be like, oh, that's the dude that be hating on people, man. That's
kinda, come on, Chris.
All right. You strongly dislike. How about that?
Yeah, more so. I just don't, you know, it's not that I hate on him. It's just when you see something he's not doing, like, he's supposed to be our number one guy. So I just felt like he's not playing like the number one guy.
Yeah,
like,
but he's the number one guy by default, not by choice. I mean, you may say it's by choice, but it's not. It really isn't.
To me, I feel like I should go try to, you know, give him a little bit of idea what they think, the way they should use him. I think you should go to
Ashburn, knock on the door, and see if you could get a meeting with Adam Peters.
I think so, man. I just want him to play man up, you know, like be physical, because he's a physical corner. So if they're going to play, because he's not, like you keep telling me, he don't got that speed. He ain't got that twitch on him. So if he ain't got that twitch, man, play man. But that's
exactly why he's drawing some of these penalties, because he's playing man. Both of those penalties were in man coverage.
So everything I've been saying is right, and that he's no good. I mean, if he can't cover
everything that I'm saying is I think accurate. There's some games where he struggles. There's no doubt. Last Sunday was one of them. And then there's some games where he's really, really good. And you hope that you get the good Benjamin St. Juice.
Yeah, I just want him to be consistent. You know, I mean, like I keep saying, I'm not trying to hate on Ron. I just felt like, you know, we could go back to the previous regime that, you know, he knows what he did in here. So it's a crime for him what he did. But at the end of the day, you know, it was all politics or whatnot. You know, I moved on from that. But
who do you like more, Ron Rivera or Benjamin St. Juice? Notice how I said like more, not hate more.
I mean, I like Ben because he's still playing, and Ron, he was one of those people that we really thought he was the dude. He was going to come here and, you know, trying to get this organization right in the right direction. But then again, you know, it's not even his fault because, you know, there's a bunch of drama that's been going on with Snyder. So
yes.
I'm going to move on from that. I think, look, come Sunday, I think there's a thing that's called letdown. I don't think we're going to have a letdown because we got a quarterback now. The only letdown that's going to happen is on that defensive side. That's the only thing I'm afraid of. Like, you know, Alex said, man, I don't know, man. It's suspicious. I don't know if they could stop him, and we haven't seen it. I mean, this is going to be a good offense. They might be a bad defense.
All right, but let me ask you this. If you go in with the prism that they're going to allow 24 points and they allow, let's just say, 27 points, you won't be as disappointed if you know what you're expecting. But if you're expecting them to throw a bagel or keep them under 10 points, then you're going to be disappointed because it ain't going to happen.
That's not happening. Not
right.
With defense,
so I'm saying adjust your prism.
I just see the way I'm calling it, like the way I'm seeing it. That defense ain't stopping nobody. And
right.
I don't care if it's, you know, professional, college, whatever. And we've seen it the past couple weeks.
They can't stop. I would agree with you. Nobody's got to stop anybody. You have to limit. And the way you do that is, again, getting off the field on third downs. They didn't do a good enough job of that against Baltimore, long drives, what have you. By forcing field goals. But the biggest thing that continues to be an issue, they got four turnovers in six games, or four takeaways in six games. They've got to get more. They've got to at least average 1.5 takeaways per game, if not two, in order for this defense, this particular year, to be even mediocre or adequate, period. They've got to get better in that area.
I wish your team good luck, you know, tonight. I think they're playing tonight, right?
The Mets? Yeah.
Team,
508, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish him good luck, man.
I want
him to have that run, but then again, you know, I don't know if that's possible, man. Yeah. They blew that game. Well, they blew the game yesterday.
They've just been annihilated the last two nights. So, yeah. They need all the help they can get. The Yankees blew the game last night. So, no, I appreciate you.
Right.
Thank you, Lou. I got to let you run so we can get to some more calls because we're running out of time here. Appreciate you. Let's go to Mark and Chevy Chase next up. What's up, Mark? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I'm in traffic without my girlfriend this week.
Oh, that's right. She's not going to chime in. What was the deal last week? I can't remember.
She just loves.
Oh, that's right. She roots for birds. Right.
And this week we're in the clear because I'm trying to convince her of Flight Commander Bird.
Yes. But she was right last week in rooting for the birds, right? I mean, that philosophy might be for the birds, but she was right in rooting for the birds.
oh, well, she's only right if she's rooting for the Commanders, but she can't defend herself. There's only one team worthy of support in this universe. It's the Commanders, and we can call them whatever.
How was the atmosphere? Like, I don't know if you guys lived together or whatever, but after Sunday evening, like, what was the what was the relationship like? Was it a little frosty, or was it...
I probably have the wrong perspective because I'm still feeling that this is going to be a very good season, so I brush myself off. I don't bet on sports, so we're able to move on and deal with the loss. And
in other words, you handle yourself like a human being.
Right. We're still hoping for a long stretch of football into January when the football is at its best. As for this weekend, the one thing I am concerned about, the NFL, I call it the two-minute league these days, because it seems like these games come down to the last 2 minutes of the half and the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. So I'm praying that the Commanders score in the last 2 minutes of both, and that they keep all of their timeouts this week, and hopefully we get a nice, comfortable win.
So. If they score in the last 2 minutes of the game, I presume that means to ice it in your eyes, or to get over the top, or to break a tie?
Being an old-time commander, being an old-time commander said, it seems like the last 2 minutes, they have to make at least one play, being our team. I was a little frustrated last week how it just sort of petered out. You know, the game just sort of ended.
Well, that's because it was 30-23 with 2.5 minutes left, and they allowed a 27-yard run virtually untouched. So they didn't really have that same opportunity. Or maybe it was a little bit more than 2.5 minutes left. It was like 2:45, 2:50, whatever it was, run essentially ended it. And that's I don't like. I have a healthy enough respect for Carolina without having too healthy of a respect, I don't think. I will tell you this. I do not, let me repeat, do not, ideally, I would like the Commanders to, be up, I don't know, the scenario that I kind of cooked up in my mind was be up 13-14 late, maybe Carolina scores a late touchdown and a backdoor cover, that kind of thing.
It could be, and I'm hoping it's an easy win, like, I'm hoping it's 40-27, like the other caller said. I hope it's something like that. I'm praying it will be. I am confident it can be. But at the same time, the 1 week, I'll give you my one criticism, which is a bold prediction also. Our A gap or our B gap, where that 27-yard run, I think it was, but the A gap, B gap seems really weak so far after 6 weeks. And my bold prediction is that we're going to strengthen that. We're going to stoppage it this weekend and stop Carolina's running
well,
game.
Well, perfect opportunity to see what Fedarian Mathis and Johnny Newton, who have been playing a lot, can do now as more full-time rotational pieces. It'll be interesting to see the pairings and how they play things. I assume Mathis earlier on, early downs, maybe, again, Johnny Newton on third and obvious passing situations. Mm-hmm. So we will see. Mark, thank you. Tell your girlfriend she can't root for any birds this week,
question.
Okay? Yeah.
One quick question. Any suggestion we go after Jamal Adams as a possible backup, or is he just...
I personally am not a fan of that guy. I think he is a lot of bluster and a big-time pain in the ass. That's me.
We'll move on to the next player.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you. Let's go to Mitch in Jersey here. What's up, Mitch? How are you?
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
All right, Mitch, what's going on?
Hey, guys, Friday. I think Jalen's going to have a great game. Come on, Carolina. I think they got to think about getting a quarterback. So, he won't even be in the league next year. So I don't think it's a big worry. I want to see Jalen have a great game because
wait, who won't be in the league next year? Who won't be in the league next year?
Dalton.
Oh, I don't think he will be. I mean, Andy Dalton's been around for a while. I mean, maybe he won't.
I won't give up on Bryce Young, but they'll be picking the lottery, so they're going to have to get a quarterback. And
probably.
But all these conferencing colleges have gotten better since they broke up, you know, foolishly, the Pac-12. The SEC is still the best conference. I like goal improvements, especially the Big Ten. And I think USC, I mean, his coach, they were raving about him. I mean, he's got to win big time on against Maryland tomorrow afternoon.
Lincoln Riley.
Questions on him.
Lincoln Riley, you mean?
Yeah, Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
I mean, they say he was a guru.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they say a lot of things about a lot of people, and they're often wrong. And Lincoln Riley, I mean, he had not been able to find a defense, and I watched a bunch of that Penn State-USC game, and Penn State was largely led by the tight end. What's his name? Tyler Johnson, I believe his name. He had like 240 yards. There you go. There you go. Thank you. If you allow something like that to Maryland. Huh?
USC has come close in their three losses. They could have won it.
Yeah.
Just poor clock management in the fourth quarter. Yeah. They lost in the last position.
No.
And I think that goal line stand, I'll let you go, they didn't see the ball. So I don't know how they overruled it. They never saw it definitely that the ball was over. But Lane's got to take some blame.
Uh-huh.
Definitely have blame Lincoln. Besides
uh-huh. There you go. USC, Maryland, appreciate you, is on the Team 980 tomorrow afternoon, kickoff just after 4 o'clock in College Park. I'll bounce around to that game, but I don't exclusively watch Maryland, you know, like I'd lock in, of course, on the command. Just Maryland has not earned that, quite honestly. Just a quick thought, real quickly. Mike Locksley is in the news this week because I guess he wrote like an op-ed. I didn't read the actual thing. I saw the headline and I saw the quote earlier this week. But I saw a follow-up from Barry Svrluga earlier today, and I thought it was interesting. Mike Locksley was upset at his team for telling him about a certain celebration that he thought was mimicking shooting a gun. And his team said, no, coach, you got it all wrong. It's not that. And then he said he saw something similar on another game, and it was just that. And he was pissed. And he went back and he said, look, to his team, you lied to me. You let me down. My son was murdered. Still unresolved. And yet I hear a lot of sports talk radio hotheads bitching and moaning about guys getting fined or penalized for various celebrations when they don't even know what the celebrations are half the time and what their meaning is. And what impact they have. Again, there is something you can do when you get in the end zone. You can hand the ball off to the official. You can spike the ball. You can celebrate. You can give your teammates a hug. You don't have to mimic any sort of anything with a gun or a holster or come and get me or don't F with me or whatever. And that was Mike Locksley's point. And I thought it was a really, really, really good point. I wish I had more time to, you know, go over this, but the bottom line is Mike Locksley, I think, sent the right message. All right, we'll come back. Dueling Super Six Packs in one segment. NFL against the spread, including the Commanders, and top six. Are the Commanders still in after Week 6? Next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, wrap it up a Feel Good Football Friday. But here's how we do it. In one segment, revolutionary, innovative, never been done before, never stolen from anybody or borrowed, never previously been heard. And we combine it all into one segment, and we'll do it quickly, and we'll get through it together, boys and girls, because this is what we do on a Friday afternoon, our dual NFL Super Sunday Six Packs. All right, through 6 weeks of the NFL season, against the spread, we pick six games, including the Commanders game, each and every Friday. I am 19-15-2. Last week, One on the Bears minus the one over the Jaguars. Bucks minus the 3.5 over the Saints. Browns plus the 9.5 at the Eagles. I lost on the Jets plus 2.5 by a half point against Buffalo, who won by 3. I lost by the Titans minus the 2.5 over the Colts. And I pushed on the Commanders Ravens at plus 7. So 3-2-1. This week, the games go as follows. First up, the Atlanta Falcons and Kirk Cousins home against Mike McDonald and the struggling Seattle Seahawks, who have been brutal defensively against the Giants, against the Detroit Lions, which is understandable. And who did they get lit up by? Oh, the San Francisco 49ers. Now, they've had a couple of extra days to prepare. Long trip east. Kirk Cousins and the Falcons have been rolling a little bit. I'm going to take the Falcons at home minus the 3 over the Seattle Seahawks. Game number 2. The Green Bay Packers. Jordan Love has had a couple of games to kind of get his footing underneath him. Romeo Doubs is back. They're running the ball pretty well with Aaron Jones. They're at home. It's chilly. Houston without their top receiver. What's his name? Why can't I think of his name? Not Tank Dell. You know what I'm talking about. C.J. Stroud has been a little bit up and down. I know Houston's defense is really good, but give me the Green Bay Packers minus the 2.5 against Houston for game 2. Game number 3, I struggled with this one. It's the game of the week. I wish I was going to watch this game more than anything. I'll have to keep an eye on it on Sunday Ticket. Detroit in Minnesota. Detroit off the absolute ambushing of Dallas. Minnesota off their bye. When we last saw them, they struggled to beat the Jets in London. Detroit on the road for a second week. They probably will run out of gas. But somehow, some way, I'm going to go with Detroit plus the 1.5, even without Aiden Hutchinson, on the road in Minnesota. I think this will be a very, very, very tight game. I'm just, for whatever reason, leaning just a little bit more into Detroit's ability to run the ball duality and throw off of that. I don't know how many more trick plays they can come up with. And Brian Flores in the Minnesota defense is real good, but I'll take Detroit plus the 1.5. Game number 4, Sunday Night Football in Pittsburgh. We still don't know who's going to start for the Steelers at quarterback. It seems both are going to play, Justin Fields, Russell Wilson. The Jets somehow at 2-4 are 2-point favorites against the Steelers. And it's probably because of that instability at quarterback. The Jets get Davante Adams. I think that's going to do wonders, obviously, for the rest of their offense. I think the Jets find a way to win this game. It might not be pretty. It might not be easy. But I don't trust that Pittsburgh Steelers passing offense, certainly, even if Justin Fields plays the whole game. And it could be messy if Russell Wilson's in there at any point. Give me the Jets minus the 2. Minus the 2. The Jets minus the 2. Road favorites in Pittsburgh against a very good Pittsburgh defense. Monday Night Football. The Ravens, team that just disposed of the Commanders. They are 3.5-point favorites in Tampa Bay. The Bucs demolished the Saints last Sunday. After a hurricane-filled week and everything in between, I think the Bucs keep the offense going. Baltimore, we know you can attack them through the air. I don't know how the Bucs are going to control and limit Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. They might need to score 33-plus points in this game to win, but it's enticing for me to get them at plus 3.5 at home. I'll take the Bucs plus the 3.5 against the Ravens. And game number 6 in our NFL Super Sunday six-pack, give me the Carolina Panthers plus 9.5 on ESPN bet. It was 8.5 to start the week, down to 8 at one point on BetQL this morning that I saw. Up to 9.5. Give me Carolina plus 9. I don't care about sharp money at all. I don't know if it's the sharps or the sharks. Give me Carolina plus the 9.5 to keep it somewhat close the Commanders win. I'm going to say 31-24 is the final score prediction that I'm going to go in. 31-24. So give me the Panthers plus the 9.5, the Bucs plus the 3.5 at home on Monday night against Baltimore. And there's two Monday night games, actually. One is like on ESPN Plus or whatever it is. Jets Sunday night minus the 2 in Pittsburgh. I don't know why I made that pick, but I'm picking it. Detroit plus the 1.5, another game that I have strong doubts on, but I had to pick games against Minnesota on the road. Green Bay minus the 2.5 at home at Lambeau against Houston. Atlanta minus the 3 over Seattle. And quickly running through the six teams, 1-6 in my Super Six Pack. No honorable mentions. Screw that. No committees. The hell with that. Just a waste of time. Did the Commanders stay in the top six? Well, the answer is right here, right now. The Chiefs still undefeated, maybe until Sunday, against the San Francisco 49ers. A Super Bowl rematch are number one. Can't dock them, right? Still number one. And they actually probably looked their best, granted, against New Orleans last time out. Maybe their offense is coming around. Number two, the Minnesota Vikings, a team we just picked against, essentially. But, again, they're undefeated. They're the second-best team in the NFL. How can I dock them? Number three, the Baltimore Ravens. Another team that I just picked against. That's okay. This is a separate ranking. Number three, they've won four in a row. Number four is the Detroit Lions, team that I have covering. The 1.5, maybe winning outright. And I think I picked them outright in our show picks that we do with the group. Detroit plus the 1.5 in Minnesota. I have them as my fourth-ranked team. Number five, the Texans. Another team that I'm picking against. I have Green Bay minus the 2.5 at Lambeau. Nico Collins was the receiver I was thinking about. And number six, the Commanders are on the outside looking in this week. After going from 6-3, I have them outside looking in. The Buffalo Bills with an impressive road win with their backup running back and everything that they've had to overcome, Ed Oliver and et al., all their injuries, free agent defections, trades, what have you. The Buffalo Bills, and now they have Amari Cooper at number six in my Super Six rankings. And that, my friends, is the most revolutionary, innovative, creative, never been done before, never stolen from anybody segment in Sports Talk Radio. We do it every Friday, right here on the Team 980. All right. Yes, indeed. Time for that trending report, and that is this. Dorrance Armstrong is going to miss the Sunday afternoon game at 4:05 against the Carolina Panthers, so he joins two guys already on IR, Jonathan Allen and as well Javonte Jean-Baptiste, but he's not going on IR at least just yet, but he has been ruled out along with Tyler Owens by Dan Quinn and the Washington Commanders. Again, 4:05 the coverage. We'll start your Sunday morning off with the Jaguars and the Patriots overseas at 9:30 via our friends at Westwood One. After that, it's Bergen and Gold Game Day. Don't forget to check out Linnell and D-Day as they lead you up until kickoff and as well throughout the game, an interactive show in the DOC on the way home from Northwest Stadium. Again, Sunday 4:05 as they retire the number 28 of the great Darryl Green. Meanwhile, two baseball playoff games. One scheduled to start in about an hour and a half at Citi Field in New York. The Mets about to get eliminated, or are they? Down 3-1 in the NLCS against the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Cleveland Guardians with a walk-off win. David Ryan with the big walk-off home run last night to help save their season. They're down 2-1 against the Pinstripers. From New York, 8:08, first pitch in that one, game four, of the WNBA Finals. New York looking for the kill shot against Minnesota. They're up 2-1, and that's what's trending. Did John Carlson just score a goal? Nope, but the Capitals did. They scored a bunch last night. Beating the Dallas Stars, that's what leads us off in cleanup on aisle three. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. There was so much going on last night. I didn't get to watch enough of this, and I'm frustrated that I didn't. But for a second game in a row, granted, it's early. The Washington Capitals beat an undefeated, previously undefeated team. On Tuesday, it was the Vegas Golden Knights at 3-0-0. Last night, it was the Dallas Stars, who came in at 4-0-0. Now, earlier in the day, as we told you on the show, they paid their starting goaltender, their franchise goaltender, Jake Oettinger, on an 8-year contract extension. But he didn't play last night, so maybe the Caps got a little bit of a break, right? They were down 1-0 after one. But then a 3-goal second period is what he wanted to say. Hello. Second game in a row for that as well. And the Capitals get the job done. Again, they were down 1-0. Then Tom Wilson, 3rd goal in 3 games. That's right, the Tom Wilson. The ones that some people think is just a goon, or some people think he's so popular just because he's handsome. They do that on another radio show. We don't care about handsome around here. Okay? We care about good hockey players. Tom Wilson's a good hockey player. His 3rd goal of the year, Pierre-Luc Dubois and Connor McMichael, each with their 2nd assist on that goal that tied the game up at 1-1. Then the Capitals took a 2-1 lead. Dylan Strome, his 2nd of the year. And Johnny B. Good with the assists, but not the goal. His 3rd assist already. Alexei Protas with his 1st assist of the year to give the Capitals a 2-1 lead. The Stars would tie it up at 2-2, but the Capitals would not be denied. Taylor Radish, a new addition to the team, with the go-ahead goal unassisted, 17-19 of the 2nd period. Nothing across either way in the 3rd period. 2nd consecutive game. That's happened. Remember, they went into the 3rd period Tuesday night up 4-2. They went into the 3rd period last night up 3-2. No goals on either side. The Capitals get the win at home, improved to 2-1, and head to New Jersey to take on the Devils, a team that spanked them around pretty good in the home opener last Saturday night. Maybe a little revenge on Saturday at the Prudential Center. And you heard the game right here on the Team 980. How about that? Because we had all sorts of things going on. Normally, their games are over on 106.7 The Fan. But the Virginia Tech Hokies were playing. So the Capitals were heard here on the Team 980. And the Odyssey app, always make sure you stay with us. We're always juggling things around. We'll let you know what we have play-by-play-wise here on the Team 980. So that's number one, part of cleanup on aisle three. Now, the other big story that we have not had time to touch on is Virginia's Tony Bennett. We asked Chris McClain of WFNZ in Charlotte, because he's a big college hoops guy, and he covers the ACC a lot, and he cares much more than I do. Virginia basketball is about to start in a couple of weeks, right? They're already practicing, and Tony Bennett officially announced his retirement this morning. And he pointed to the quote-unquote current environment, end quote, in college sports as one of the driving forces behind his reason stepping down, saying, quote, "The hardest thing to say is when I looked at myself and I realized I'm no longer the best coach to lead the program in this current environment. If you're going to do it, you got to be all in. If you do it half-hearted, it's not fair to the university and those young men. So in looking at it, that's what made me step down." Now, a lot of people are critical of Tony Bennett for walking away when he did. He should have done it a couple of months ago. Could have done it when kids had an opportunity to transfer, blah, blah, blah. Again, I know it's unrealistic, but kids should not be playing solely and strictly for the head coach. You should be playing because it represents the best opportunity for you to grow as a young man and as a basketball player or a football player, and because you love that university. Because coaches can just get up and leave. They can get fired. They can quit. They can resign early on, midway through the offseason, late in the offseason, early in the season. Somebody was saying Dick Bennett, Tony Bennett's dad, quit 3 games into the Wisconsin season back in 2000. I should remember that, but I vaguely remember it. I'm sure it's true. The bottom line is, we had a vicious argument, the young buck and I, over the offseason about NIL and the current environment. The transfer portal, the unlimited transfer. Once again, just like I'm right about almost every other argument, once again, He was dead set against saying that coaches were resigning or quitting, not coming back because of the system. There's nothing wrong with the system. It's not driving coaches away. It's no big deal. No impact. You know, Nick Saban just walked away at the still at the top of the game for no reason. And I said, no, it's actually the number one reason. And here you have Tony Bennett not exactly saying it, but quitting 2 weeks before the season starts and basically saying, hey, man, I just don't have the energy to deal with this. And I will say this one thing. Okay, sure, it's unfair to the kids. You know, the transfer portal, this, that, and the other. I got it. I understand. It kind of puts them in a compromising position. It also helps somebody from his staff that now gets to step up and be the interim head coach instead of somebody completely out of the building and out of the campus. But also think about this. It's admirable, in my opinion, for Tony Bennett to say, you know what? I thought I could do it, but I can't. I tried. I tried to find it. I was hoping just by getting back to practice, it would solve a lot of these feelings that I was feeling. A lot of these things that I was thinking. Would you rather this happen one game into the season? Or, like his dad, 3 games into the season? Or 10 games into the season, right? Mark Turgeon just quit, walked away. What? A dozen games into the Terp season a couple years ago? Never to be heard from again, right? Would you rather that? Or would you rather this? And the answer for me is I'd rather this. And I also, and I'll freely admit, whether you like this or not about me, I am not a jock sniffer. I don't just care about the players. I care about everything. Everything. I know it sucks to some degree for the players. Got it. But again, this is a lesson in don't go to a school strictly because of the coach. That can be part of the reason. But don't go to the school strictly because of the coach. Which should be obvious, but often isn't. Don't go to the school strictly for the coach. Go to the school because you want to represent the school, because you want to get a degree at the University of Virginia, which is a prestigious degree.
Now, I agree with you, but at the same time, I kind of don't, for the main reason that when you're looking at schools, especially NCAA standard, the coach is the recruiter, the coach is the person that's kind of selling the program and all of that. So to come into a school assuming that the program is going to be one way with the guy that brought you there and said, oh, it's going to be this, to have him disappear right before the start of the season, that's, I can understand from an athlete standpoint being like, well, I was just promised a fake bill of goods.
It sucks, but, you know, it depends on when they were recruited, too. You know, some of these kids are recruited a year, year and a half ago, right? I mean, is Tony Bennett supposed to stay forever? And if he's doing it half-hearted, Matt, is that serving the kids in their best interests as well?
No, and I don't think that there's a good way to do this, but I don't. Actually, I do think there's a good way to do it. End of the season. Give the organization, give the recruitment class, give everyone enough time to be able to make the choices they need to.
That is the best
time. Because the program is not going to be the same as what you believe it.
What if
it was previous year?
What if he wasn't exactly feeling this way, and he was hoping, maybe he's feeling a little something, something, and he was hoping that some rest, the summer, getting back to practice would make him feel better.
That's great. He still has a team of young athletes that are reliant on him. So, if he realized that he wasn't feeling it at that point, you finish out. You do one last season because. Okay. You know what? I realize I'm not able to do this anymore, but I've already committed to this season. It starts in 2 weeks. I got to shape up.
I think I can understand both sides of the aisle on this for cleanup on aisle three. And one final one before we get to Dumb Dumb of the Day. Maddie found this from the Cincinnati.com, Cincinnati Inquirer, and this is going to speak to our guy Jeff in Vienna. I don't even know if Jeff's hit me up about this. I haven't seen it. Maybe I missed it. Apparently, Skyline Chili and Grater's Ice Cream had a concept and came together to create, well, a Skyline Chili Grater's Ice Cream flavor. However, it was met with, some criticism. And people were kind of wondering, what is this going to taste like? It was listed on supermarket websites. However, a senior director of advertising I don't know if it's Grater's Ice Cream or if it's for Skyline Chili. Maybe it's for both. Oh, they represent Grater's. Sorry. The actual ice cream. They confirmed that the ice cream chain and Skyline Chili are discussing a possible collaboration. However, in an update, now she says, the flavor was concept art and is not available or in production just yet. Good. So they are working on the collaboration with a spice blend and the ice cream and what have you, but it is not in anything more than in a R&D phase right now, research and development. So I guess the question is, while we can't actually taste it, Matt, would you be into Skyline Chili ice cream?
No. No. Neither would I. Much like in Jurassic Park, they decided that they wondered if they could and never wondered if they should.
I can answer the question. They never should. They never should. All right, coming back.
Clean up in aisle three.
Yes, we're always cleaning up on aisle three. Too long, as a matter of fact. Coming up, dum-dum of the day. Wait until you see what's happening in Columbia, Missouri, tomorrow morning. Next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, wrapping up here on a Feel Good Football Friday. Craig Hoppen coming up next. You know what time it is. Before we say goodbye, we say,
it's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
All right, so everybody knows beer and football can kind of goes together and tailgating and all that good stuff, right? Everybody can have a reasonably good time. However, the University of Missouri, the Missouri Tigers, taking it one step further. They're hosting Auburn this weekend, as in tomorrow morning. It's homecoming in Columbia. They want everybody to get in. It's a 11 a.m. kickoff. So what are they doing? Starting an hour and a half before kickoff. That's at 9:30 local time. They're selling beer inside the stadium for the football stadium, low price of $2.99.
What?
That's right. They're calling it Happy Hour Beers on a Saturday morning from 9:30 until 10:30. Beer draft brews, as they're calling them, will be available for $2.99.
I'm always moist, baby.
Uh-huh. Now, you might think there's no big deal in that, right? People are going to drink one way or the other. Yes, people are going to drink one way or the other. But for a college, for a school, at a college football game, to not only have the beer accessible, which it's accessible everywhere, but to be heavily encouraging it, and presumably to a lot of young people that hopefully are 21 and above, seems a little ridiculous, right? Seems a little, I don't know, poor taste, poor choice. Kind of dumb.
I feel like there's going to be a riot over there. Win, lose, either a happy riot or a sad riot. Can't get that drunk that early and not have something go wrong.
Exactly. And Missouri, their head coach, Eli, no pun intended here, Drinkwitz, has apparently been calling out the fans and trying to get the fans to come to the game to support the team. Well, there's no better way than getting a bunch of drunkards out at 9:30 in the morning. So for that, Missouri, you stink.
Congratulations. You're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
There's going to be nobody that's drunk at that game, right? What could go wrong?
I don't think there's going to be anybody that's sober at that game.
That's a better point. All right, Craig Hoffman coming up next. Thanks to Chris McClain, WFNZ in Charlotte. Thanks to you guys on the phones. I'll post the picks. We'll see you Sunday afternoon, rather, at Northwest Stadium. Don't forget, all-day coverage starting at 9:30 in the morning with the Patriots and the Jaguars, wrapping up with the DOC a couple hours after the game on your way home out of Northwest Stadium. We'll be back here on Monday at 1 o'clock. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Don't do anything stupid. Adios.